Lord, I lift my hands and my worship unto you. I just want to thank you for the times you brought me through. When I stop and think of all the wondrous things you do, Lord, I lift my hands and my worship unto you.
Praise God. Just so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've brought me through, for all the times. I'm so thankful. So thankful. He's such a great God. Today's such a great day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. Praise God. For all of the spiritual mothers. Praise God. And Proverbs tells us that a mother has a value far above pearls. They're costly, right? Her husband entrusts his heart to her. And I was thankful this morning, outside of the first text I got from my sister in Canada, my husband left a very special note for me this morning. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then he went to bed because he worked night shift. But the scripture tells us that her husband entrusts his heart to her, and with her he will have all he needs. She brings him good and not trouble all of the days of her life. The good news, an honorable, capable wife and mother is someone who instills confidence in her family and brings them joy. Praise God. And thanking God for all the moms here. And I thank God it's been 2006. My mom passed away. I thank God that I can say she really was instrumental in my life for me loving and serving God the way I do. It didn't start out that way, because when she asked me to leave because I served God and leave the house, that was rough. But you know what I did? I just dug in with Jesus. And I have partnered with him ever since. I'm thankful because I knew that he was the one I could trust in all times. And it didn't matter what the situation looked like, I had him to trust and take care of me. So in those times where you think, oh, I'm alone, I'm not alone. And you know, it's such a great blessing. And sometimes I think I kind of can relate to Joseph when he said, you know, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. Because through all of our lives, God is weaving something for us. He wants us to be saved and our families to be saved. He's not against us. He's for us. And we look at situations and say, hey, oh, this is bad. God is with you. He is for you. And he is weaving things in the supernatural that we cannot see. But it's happening, and we can rest assured and put our confidence in him. And I'm so thankful for that. So having my church family to support me through this life's journey has been utmost of everything. Just like-minded, filled with his spirit, just that love, praise God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can have this extended family here outside of our natural family, and we can believe together for great things. And together we trust God for great things, for our church family, our friends, family, neighbors. I'm so thankful for that. So God bless all of you mothers today. I know there's going to be a lot more things about mothers today. All you spiritual mothers, all you aunties, God bless you. Grandmothers, great-grands, oh my, it's so exciting. And you are a blessing. And your love and your care and support to our church family and your family, they feel it, they know it, and we are very appreciative. Thank you, Lord. One of the icebreakers, well, the icebreaker for today, I thought it was a little strange, but so I'm just rewording it. Do you remember when you were in school, gym class comes, and you have two, the, there'd be two captains, and then they would pick teams. So the icebreaker question was, where were you picked? Were you picked at the beginning, in the middle, or at the end? And I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't necessarily picked first, but I wasn't picked last. And, you know, I was the person who felt a lot of compassion for the one that was picked last. I just did. I was like, okay, because it's almost like there's that person, like I felt compassion, but then there were those that said, you're picked last because you're a loser. You know, that's their mentality. And they may not have said it, but they projected it and they showed it by the way they stood. You can read people. And so today's story is about a man named Gideon. And this title today is Gideon and the Strength of Honesty. And so today's lesson, we're going to look at Gideon, who was chosen by God to deliver Israel. But he wasn't chosen necessarily by his clansmen, his family. He considered himself the weakest. In Judges, we're going to read the scripture text. It's in Judges chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You know what? Gideon probably was picked last in a, you know, one of those things where you pick for teams. However, in God's economy, we don't look at the outside. We don't look at necessarily just what you can see. God looks at the heart, and he's looking at the inside of this man, Gideon. And he called him, and he was the one that was the deliverer of Israel. And this lesson today is about Gideon's call to service. And each one of us today, we have that call to serve God and to be a representative of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the greatest God in the universe. There's a lot of false gods. We see them all over, false gods. But we serve the greatest living God. Praise God. So when times in times of overwhelming odds, and we'll do the whole story, background and everything for today, why Gideon was called. God calls someone who was a very unlikely candidate. And maybe in that place, he felt a little unqualified. And you know what? This lesson today with Gideon being called to service, he served, and I just wanted to, because we don't cover his whole life in today's lesson, we're mostly talking about his calling. But in his lifetime, he served as the fifth judge over Israel. He, in his reign, destroyed the altar to the pagan god Baal. And then he made an altar to the one true living God. He reunited Israel against their enemies. And through God's power, he defeated them. And we all remember the one story in the Bible where God had Gideon slim down the troops. So it was a test of faith, really, reducing the army, the Israelite army, from 32,000 to 300. So the Midianites outnumbered Israel 450-1. Wow. Our God can be trusted. When it looks like the enemy surrounds us and it looks like we're outnumbered, guess what? You can stand tall, put your shoulders back, and you can say, greater is he that is with me than he that is in the world, because greater power has our Lord than any other God, small g. And this power is not in our human strength. It's not in our confidence. It's not in our abilities. It's nothing that's in us except our reliance on him. And you know what? It's always through him and by him, and we give him glory. Praise God. I love that so many of our Sunday school lessons are about trusting God, no matter what. Because isn't that what we face each week? Trusting God no matter what. When that telephone call comes in, when you hear news, when you share in prayers with others, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to trust God with you. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to partner with you and trust God. And it conveys faith. You have that faith. Guess what? Faith sparks faith with your brothers and sisters when you share and give your needs to God in confidence and say, you know what? God's got this. He's got it. And he does have it. Praise God. How fitting that we talk about these Christian fundamentals, trusting God again. And when we do that, it's like the prophet for Gideon and Israel in this case, just always reminding them what God had done for them in the past. All of the things that God has done to bring them to where they're at, and how he did it once, he can do it again. And you can think back into your life where God came in a powerful way, and it wasn't by any man's hand or help from somebody, except God did it. And you know he did it. Put it in a little book somewhere on your nightstand. Put the date of it down, because the day that there's going to be a day, and you're going to say, I need to trust God for this. Go back in that book, open it, look at the pages and say, wow, God did this once. I know he can do it again, because he is great, he's powerful, and he's able to do all things. And we can trust God, and we can believe his promises. And we know, and we through scripture know that he will fulfill his promises. Jeremiah 17:7 says, happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. Praise God. And trusting in general is something that most people struggle with anyway, because people want to control things. They want to plan, right? I like planning. I like taking notes. I like lists. And I like conquering those lists. Figuring out things, you know, in their own thinking. We have great examples in scripture, and this is my introduction basically, but I think it's so important just to remember people like Abraham, when he was called to leave his home and move to a land that God would show him. He didn't know where that land was going to be, but he trusted God. When he was asked to sacrifice his only son on an altar, he trusted God. When he trusted God for the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he pleaded with God. And we have, I know there's just a few men I just want to talk about. Moses trusted God. I'd like to say, starting with his faith, his mother's faith, her faith to say, you know what? He's going to live, making that little basket of reeds and putting it in the Nile and having Pharaoh's daughter find it. Well, that was God. And then she was able to be like a wet nurse, basically, for Moses. And being paid to do that. Later, you know, tending the sheep in the desert, God spoke to him through the burning bush. He trusted God to be true to his word and that he would deliver the Israelites from bondage. And in those 40 years, I know some of you think 40 years, wow. He had to trust God for, we have Safeway and we have Fred Meyer's, for food, for water, for protection at night, shade by day. He couldn't just go buy a, like, you know, those little tents that protect you from the sun. He trusted God for everything, not just for himself, but all of the Israelites for 40 years and for their deliverance, protection against enemies. Well, Joshua, remember Joshua and Caleb when they went to spy out the promised land? God kept reminding him, be strong and courageous. And it was through God's strength that Joshua was able to lead the Israelites to the promised land, defeat enemies. You know, we have enemies. God is able. We have battles. God is able. And guess what? They stayed true to God. We can stay true to God and trust him in our battles against anything. Praise God. I think Job's story is one of the most hardest to possibly even imagine, because he trusted God through losing almost everything. And he said, this is what Job said. He said, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. You know, perhaps at that time, Job did not see the bigger picture. And sometimes in our lives, we don't see the bigger picture. However, he continued to put, his trust in God through the pain. We have pain. Through the loss, we have loss. Through discouragement, we have discouragement. His friends were discouraging. You know what? After losing all of his children, he trusted and put his trust in God. One last one. I remember Paul and Silas? They were beaten and thrown into prison. That doesn't sound like a very nice beginning. Not at all. You know how stories start? You know, like fairy tale stories start so nice. This didn't start nice. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I thought, wow, what a great reminder for us. People are literally listening, they're watching, they're seeing our faith in God in action every day in our lives. Praise God. We're going to turn to Judges chapter 6. Verses 11 through 13. Praise God. And it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. Listen to that word to say it right. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Well, we have a picture here of Gideon threshing wheat, which was normally done on high ground so that the wind could separate the chaff from the wheat. But Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press, and he was hiding. He had probably a lot more work to do, because when you're doing that, you don't have the wind. You've got to create some kind of, you know, movement of air, right? But since the survival of his people depended upon him getting food, he was going to do it wherever he could get this job done. You know what? I probably could imagine Gideon thought, you know what, when he said that, what befallen us? Then why is all this befallen us? Like, almost like, have you abandoned us, Lord? And we too can get to that place. Lord, I don't see you. I don't see movement. I don't see anything happening. However, when we don't see anything, it doesn't mean that God is not doing something, right? God is always doing something. He's just a moving, living God who's doing things in the supernatural in our lives that sometimes we may not know until that day. We may not know. But imagine how he must have felt when the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. He's oppressed by the enemy, fighting to forge out food for his family so they can survive. He's getting the job done, probably fearful. When can the enemy come at any time? God knew he needed some help with his insecurities, and he chose him to deliver his people. Oh my goodness. The Lord said to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, to my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Go in this might of yours, Gideon. And perhaps Gideon thought, what might? What might? I'm in the wine press, you know. working on this wheat. But God wasn't mocking Gideon. Gideon had might, might that we may not normally think of. And I just think he must have been a very humble man, because he was going to get that job done no matter where. And he was threshing wheat in the wine press on the floor there and away from the prying eyes of the Midianites, because he wanted nothing to be taken away, nothing stole from the enemy. He cared about where Israel was at, the low places that they were at, the oppression. And he had knowledge of the past, of the things that God had done, delivering them from Egypt. And so he had that faith. He had that faith in God, because he remembered that God had done this in the past. And I like to say that he was a teachable person, because he listened to the angel of the Lord. And yes, he had questions, but he listened. In all these areas, he had might, but his perspective was off. He thought himself insignificant, the smallest in his tribe, the least in his own family. Does that sound like any that we've heard in the Bible that were great men that did great things for God, right? And God kept assuring Gideon not to build up his self-confidence, but to assure him that God was, in fact, with him and for him. Yeah. Gideon, like us, didn't need more self-confidence. What he needed was more God confidence. That's what we need, more God confidence, confidence in God. I'm so thankful that Gideon's calling was reaffirmed by God, and God kept encouraging him. And I'm so thankful that's what he does for us also. He encourages us, he reaffirms, and lets us know that one song, Spirit of the Living God. Yes, you know what? Spirit of the Living, think about that. We have the Spirit of the Living God inside of us. He is always with us. He's for us. He's giving us confidence, peace. Oh, goodness. All the things that we need every day to go through life. And not just for us, because it's not just for us. We get to share that with those around us. Praise God. But how did we get to this place in Judges? How did we get to this place where an angel of the Lord was going to the winepress floor where he's threshing wheat and giving direction to Gideon? Because the very first verse in chapter 6, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." They had embraced the pagan gods, and their troubles were a consequence of their disobedience to God's commandment to follow him. And long before, God had warned his people of the consequences of idolatry and the penalty for disobedience. He reminded them that the blessings they would only enjoy if they kept his commandments and honored him and honored the name of the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 5, it says this, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and sow them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." I had to look up to the vintage. It's approximately July, in the month of July-ish. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. What's that all about? That was about God's grace, and that was about God's mercy. And what that was is he wanted them to turn back to him. If they were left to their own devices and just left to merrily go on without the opposition of the enemy for 7 years, you know what? They finally got to the place where they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to God. And praise God. You know what? Thank God they got to that place, because the Midianites were coming regularly, stealing their harvest. Doesn't that sound like the enemy in our lives? Coming regularly to steal what God has beautifully given to us. They would take it, leave nothing for the Israelites. And that's what the enemy would like to do in your life, is take whatever he can take from you that God has given you that's beautiful and powerful and rich and lovely, and steal it and make you feel like you are insignificant and worthless and you don't deserve God's grace, God's blessings, God's redemption. And it's a lie. It's a lie. But because of this sin and doing evil, Israel had their life's work was profitless. It didn't profit. All their produce, their livestock, it was taken from them after working so hard. This constant oppression. So glad they finally called out to God. You know what? Gideon, like us, he has, like, why? We haven't heard from you for so long, Lord, this long absence. But just because we don't see him or feel him doesn't mean that he's not working on our behalf and loving us and for us. Because when we're in the trial, it's really hard to remember the things that God has already done. That's why I really suggest a prayer journal, even a praise book. But what he was doing, I really can appreciate, is that he was getting the work done that needed to be done today in the present. He was getting the food that he needed to get for his family. But he did, in the present, he forgot what had happened in the past and what God had done. So he had to be reminded. You know, we used to sing that little song in Kenai, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, just use what you've got. Faith isn't faith when we have all the answers. Faith isn't faith when we can do in our own power what God wants to do for us. In those times when we're right in the middle of the battle, God is with us and he's for us, and he showed that to Gideon. And Psalms 139:7 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your present presence?" We can trust God. We are shown through scriptures. We can trust that he will come through for us. And if you are going through something, even this morning, this week, you can trust God. You may not be able to trust maybe your closest friend or someone in your family even, but you can trust God. He is for you. He will come through in those difficult times. And I love this. The enemy is always confused by our faith in God. Amen. Let it be so. Let the enemy be confused by our faith in God. Fight for faith in your life. You know, we talk about a lot, especially at work, we talk a lot about self-care, you know, leaving, you know, making sure you've shared with someone if you have to share with someone about things that happened. But we talk about self-care. Fight for faith in your life is self-care. Because engaging in faith is, it's what's going to preserve you. It's what's going to keep you through difficult times. Like David in the Bible, he encouraged himself in faith. 1 Samuel 30:6 says, "Now David was greatly distressed," and you could imagine, "for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Praise God. He didn't strengthen himself in spa time. And I love pedicures with my daughter. You know, there is a strengthening of yourself in the Lord that cannot come from other activities, but just being still with God. And just listening to. Listening is great. Praise God. No doubt the enemy had a few nasty words to say to all of Gideon and his family and his clan. And we call those people bullies. In this case, we're talking the Midianites, the enemies, the enemy. But I just wanted to remind us today that James 1:19 instructs us as to how to talk. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. These are just good things for us in our lives with other people, with our brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 3:10 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Well, these enemies were not letting down on Gideon. And I could imagine it was like the jeering and jesting of when David slew Goliath. You know, he had to come against all of the naysayers just saying, you know what? But he said, I'm coming against you in the power and the strength of God, not my own strength. Praise God. But he defeated Goliath with God's great, great help. We can place our confidence, we can place our trust in God, because God's timing is part of his plan. Thank you, brother. It's not our plan, but it's his plan. Isn't that great? I love how that Abraham used his faith and he believed the promises of God. We can believe the promises of God. I'm so thankful. Remember, when you feel like or it looks like you've come to the end of the rope, you know, they say, oh, there's a knot in the end, just hold on, right? But God is weaving something supernatural. And if you're going through that, perhaps God creating a God-centered scripture, and this is what I just thought, a note to yourself, you know, you put it on your refrigerator, on your mirror, wherever, just to remind yourself what God has done for you in the past and what you know he can do in the future. It creates just a spark of faith. And when you see it in the morning, you're like, oh, you're not getting up and going, it's Monday, it's Tuesday. You're getting up and going, oh, I remember when God did that for me. And I know what he can do for me in the future. And I'm trusting him for whatever it is. It creates a faith in your spirit. And you get up and you go through the day with a different perspective. Perspective matters. My husband, he said, I was reading over your notes. I have this cute little thing. And he didn't send it to me. He goes, you need to put it up on the screen. And I said, and this is what it was. It was a little pitcher of water. And at the top, you could see this fin of a shark. And right underneath, you could see where a goldfish has strapped on this fin of a shark. And he's just going through the water. Perspective is everything in our lives. I was like, okay, honey, that's where his brain was. But it's true. And you see the little picture of, I love this because we have mini dachshunds. So it was a mini dachshund and it's a picture. And then you see his shadow is this big, like a lion, you know, like this big, big thing. And he's just like this small, but he feels like he's this big. And I'm like, you know what? We can feel that big with our great, big, wonderful God. Isn't that awesome? It's powerful. I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord in the mornings. Start your day with that. You know, you put your feet, all of us get out of our bed and we put our feet on the floor. I hope that tomorrow morning when you get out of bed and put your feet on the floor, you just are reminded of God's goodness. Lord, I'm so thankful for another day. I'm so thankful to spend this day with you. I don't know where you're bringing me, Lord, but let my faith increase to believe that you can do anything. There's nothing he cannot do. And I love how Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus said, Lord, is there anything you can't do? And others in scripture, like Job, Lord, is there anything you can't do? You can do everything, Lord. You can. He knows us better than we know ourselves, right? And you know what? Sometimes we cannot see our own potential in God and in God's economy and in God's work. We've got to trust the one who created us in his image, who knows what we can accomplish in him. And those dreams that you have, those dreams to do great things for God in this lifetime, they can come true. Praise God. And I ask you today, is there an area in your life that you would like to trust God more? Let this year, we're 2023 still, let this be the year. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you more than I've ever trusted you before. I'm going to partner with you, God, because you are my partner in this life. More than anything, I'm going to just rely on you. Psalms 20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Praise God. And perhaps today, God is challenging you and I to grow in our faith, to grow faith. I love my friends that are planting, you know, little seeds, and I get pictures of the growth of these plants, and it's lovely. I love it. You know what? Imagine God looking at that seed of faith that's planted in our hearts, and he's looking and he's saying, wow, look at that growth. There's a bud. It's going to bloom. It's lovely. It's just beautiful. But God, he loves that in our lives, and it's beautiful. We have that ability to share that faith growth with our friends, our families, and it is contagious. It really is. You know what? Praise God. I love that God set the stage for Israel's deliverance. It was a prophet that came and reminded them that God had brought them through Egypt. We need to remember what God has brought us through. He reminded them of God's love for them. I thought this was so very unique and special because we need to remind ourselves how much we are loved and cherished. You are the apple of his eye. You are. And when we have new people coming into this and they've felt like wrong or bad love in the world and they don't know what love really is, but when they can feel and experience the love of God, it changes everything. But I love that the prophet reminded them of where they came from and then right away how much God loves them. And then he reminded them how much he loves them to deliver them. And you know what? Isn't that with us? He is in the delivering business, the soul-saving, delivering from sin business. Praise God. And he reminded them that God has enough power, strength, ability, everything to deliver them again. He did it once and he could do it again. And that's the same in our lives. You go back to a situation, you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. But guess what? But God came in and did something that we would have never done for ourselves. It was something that we never would have thought of. And then you can only say, it was God, and then God gets the glory. Praise God. And you know what? You share that story with someone, you're like in the grocery store, and it doesn't even matter if it's a complete stranger. You are so excited because God did this for you, and you share, and it's beautiful. God sends this message to the Midianites. It's not that the Midianites were so strong at the time. It's that the Israelites were so disobedient to God. And that is why God did call this man Gideon, called him to be a deliverer. And I'm so thankful that they came to their senses. And I had this rest of the scripture in here. It goes from Judges 6, 19 to 23, and then Judges 6, 36 through 40, where, you know, Gideon had questions. And he said, okay, God, can you show me how this is? It's like tests. He gave God little tests, but God did not whack him down and say, whack, Gideon, just get it. He encouraged him. He was so kind and loving and gracious and merciful. Let us be that way. Let us be that way. So when Gideon brought his offering before the angel of the Lord, it was accepted, And you know what? I can't imagine the sense of awe and just reverence and wonder that Gideon must have felt at that moment. Awesome to have the audience of God, to have the audience of the King of Kings. Oh, just amazing. And I love that Gideon is included in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, for his faithful deeds. Just a great story. And I know that's only a part of the story because it goes on to just great, amazing things that God continued to do to show Gideon how he was using him and to just continue to give him confidence. I am with you. I am for you. God said, I'm going to work this out for Israel, and it's going to be through you. Wow. Praise God. And you know, we have this year, we talk about focusing on our key, a key person. And I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I thought, and I never thought this before, but I think God just might be speaking to me. I could be a key. Each one of us can be a key. I kept thinking of somebody, Lord, who could it be? And I have pictures of, I won't name names, but all these people in my brain thinking of all these other people. You know what? You and I could very well be the key that God is using for our community, for our churches. And that's where we don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence to know that He is with us and He is for us and He is helping us. Praise God. God bless you today on this Mother's Day. Greet one another, and we'll come together in a few minutes for praise and worship to the Lord. Praise God.